So we now know 6 of the 8 quarter-finalists after another 2 teams progressed on Tuesday evening. In Leicester, the English champions continued their European fairy tale after a truly dramatic victory over 10-man Sevilla.
Right-hand edge of the penalty area, Mahrez crosses in towards the Japanese. Mark Albrighton, left-foot shot, scores for Leicester! They go in front by 2-0!
In contrast, in Turin, Juventus progressed with ease after a solid second-leg performance against Porto.
Now Paulo Dybala with a penalty, taking on Iker Casillas. Steps up now, left-footed, Casillas goes the wrong way, right in the corner. Juventus 1, Porto 0, 3-0 on aggregate.
So all the best analysis and reaction from both of tonight's round of 16 encounters to come. But we'll hear from Leicester's 2 goal-scoring heroes, Wes Morgan and Mark Albrighton. Plus, we'll look ahead to Wednesday's ties, where Manchester City will look to defend a 2-goal advantage in Monaco, and Bayer Leverkusen travel to Atletico, hoping to overturn a 2-goal deficit of their own. Stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, congratulations to Juve going through, but Leicester City, they're the story of Tuesday night.
They've been the story of world football for the last 12 months, haven't they? And I'm not sure when the adventure is going to end. It's going to take them to the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals after one of the most enjoyable games, I think, of this season's competition. Yes, it didn't have 7 goals or 8 goals like we've seen, but the intensity, the energy, the effort from both teams was magnificent. It was compelling watch, and in the end, Leicester came through. Poor old Sevilla, they gave it their all. But Leicester City, Rob, are in the last 8.
So Tuesday's 2 round of 16 ties finished like this. Leicester 2, Sevilla 0. That's a 3-2 aggregate success for Leicester City in the end. And Juventus 1, Porto 0, Juve 3-0 aggregate winners against the Portuguese league leaders. So that means in the quarterfinals, Chris rightly said, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern, Dortmund, Juve, and Leicester City. And we'll begin with the drama in Leicester. This was Watch For Us by Mike Sewell.
It's just outside that angle of the penalty area, over on the far side. Mahrez drives it in towards the six-yard area, and it's sent in by Wes Morgan, and Leicester City take the lead through their captain. Right-hand edge of the penalty area, Mahrez crosses in towards the Japanese. Mark Albrighton, left-foot shot, scores for Leicester. They go in front by 2-0, and just as Sevilla looked like getting back in the game, Leicester have extended their advantage. On the edge of the penalty area is Vitolo. Now Nasri, they're being forced a little further back. So many blue shirts defending, including Vardy. And the referee wants a word with the Frenchman, and a yellow card apiece for Sami Nasri, who's already been booked, and he's off. Vitolo to the right, inside the area, he's in here, Schmeichel comes out, Vitolo shoots towards goal. Huth has cleared it, but the referee has given a penalty. And Zonzi waits for the signal from the referee. He steps forward, right-footed, saved by Schmeichel, he's done it again. It wasn't the best penalty, but Leicester do not care. They've done it once more, and maybe even his father is up on his feet in the stands. Maybe Kasper Schmeichel is sending Leicester into the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. And Leicester are running downfield now, and they don't need to attack the Sevilla goal. They could do, but they won't have time because the referee's blown his whistle. And the Leicester City Stadium is up on its feet. It's lifted off the roof, because the Premier League champions of England have made it into the last 8 of the UEFA Champions League.
They certainly have. Joining Chris and myself now is Mike Sewell, our commentator for the game at the Leicester City Stadium. Mike, what a story.
An incredible story, a really amazing story, and that Leicester, after everything they achieved last season, they had that huge low in the first half of this season, and everybody was thinking, oh, the fairy tale, as we keep saying, is over now. They've got to concentrate on avoiding relegation from the English Premier League. But look where they are now. They're going to join the likes of, you said, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juventus, Dortmund. and Bayern Munich in the last day. I've just seen a tweet, actually. Gary Lineker is a legend of Leicester City Football Club. He supports them. And his last two words on Twitter, towards the end of the game, were, "Can't breathe." That sums it up. And that would be what thousands of other people... I wonder what Leicester City Centre's like at the moment.
I'm sure they're having a very good time indeed. Let's hear from the captain, Wes Morgan.
Incredible. I can't quite believe it, you know. You know, we're newcomers in the Champions League. We didn't expect to get this far, and here we are. We did it, you know. We did it. We proved a lot of people wrong. And it's a big game for us, big night for everyone involved with Leicester. And we pulled off an impossible again.
They certainly did, and he got the opener. It was unorthodox. I think that'd be fair to say.
Yeah, a centre-half's finish. Went with his head, and it hit his right knee and went in. But that's what Leicester needed. And then from then on, really, Sevilla had most of the attacks, most of the chances. But, you know, on the break, Leicester got their second through Mark Albrighton and then somehow defended for their lives. It felt like the night of those players' lives. You know, I think many of them will have known, when will we next get the chance, if ever, to be in the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals? And they played like it. It was a magnificent effort. We said before the game that we expected it to be, you know, intense and played at breakneck speed, and it was from minute one to minute 94. It was a magnificent watch. The players were out on their feet by the end. Had Sevilla scored, extra time might have just been a non-event, frankly, because energy levels were running out, and it was no surprise.
Let's hear from the scorer of the second crucial goal on the night, Mark Albrighton.
What a night. I think we thoroughly deserve the victory. We pressed them from the first whistle to the last and rode our luck at times, defended triumphantly, and to get the two goals against such a good team, keep the clean sheets, fantastic for us. We thoroughly deserve to be there. We play brilliant in this campaign. This Champions League run has been fantastic, and we just want to keep it going as long as possible.
15th in the English Premier League, Leicester City. Two wins domestically have pulled them away from the relegation zone. They now find themselves in the last state of the UEFA Champions League. It's understandable that the mood in that dressing room, Mike, must just be sensational at the moment.
Yeah, and Kasper Schmeichel has been quoted since the end of the game as saying, it's quite interesting, the end of this particular quote, he was asked about the saves that he made, the penalty saves, and also the other saves that he made in open play. These are what I'm there for to do. It's a great feeling to help the team progress. It's about confidence. We've played more like we did last season. And that's exactly what they did tonight.
That's very nice of Kasper to say that. He has been their star man, Rob. It was a team performance and a team effort that got them through. But all along this run, Kasper Schmeichel has been magnificent. He's almost every match that they've won, he has made at least one outstanding save. And first leg, he saved a penalty. Second leg against Sevilla, he saved Steven Nzonzi's spot kick. And generally, he made another fantastic save from Sami Nasri very early on. I mentioned it in commentary. If I was picking my team of the UEFA Champions League, he'd be my goalkeeper. And that's saying something given who we have in goal for all of these enormous clubs that Leicester are joining in the last eight. He was magnificent and great that his dad was in the stands. And OK, he's not a Leicester fan, but he's definitely a Kasper Schmeichel fan. He was up on his feet. The emotion for everybody, I think, got the better of them at that moment.
Unless it escapes me, have a father and a son won the UEFA Champions League?
Ah, we did this last week. There's been three instances, I think, of father-sons winning the European Cup or the UEFA Champions League. So they're looking to become the fourth.
Goalkeepers, I doubt.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, I don't think it is either. I mean, that'd be extraordinary. And we saw N'Golo Kante in the crowd as well, beaming from ear to ear. He just couldn't believe what his former teammates had done.
Clearly, a little bit of his heart is still there in Leicester. They looked out for him, didn't they? The players on the pitch were obviously told, he's up there. And they looked and they found him. And as you said, 24 hours earlier, he was scoring the winning goal for Chelsea in an FA Cup quarterfinal. So he makes the way up to Leicester and gives his old teammates some support.
And it was his type of performance. You know, when he joined the club at the start of last season, that energy sapping, almost miraculous in terms of the amount of physical endurance. And it was that type of Kante performance from everybody, frankly. It was the reason that you watch football for matches like that, I thought, because Sevilla gave as good as they got. You know, Jorge Sampaoli, when he looks back over the two legs, probably won't believe that it's not Sevilla who are in the last eight. They had enough chances, particularly early on, and even on Tuesday, you know, they had enough chances. Escudero's effort that came back off the underside of the crossbar. But in those moments, you do need a bit of luck, and Leicester had it, but you can't say they didn't deserve it, because the way they performed was exceptional. And hey, Craig Shakespeare's a natural at this managerial arc, isn't he?
On this topic, I mean, Leicester were in some kind of free fall domestically. They were in they managed to get a 2-1 defeat in Spain somehow. Has the decision to change the man in charge in the dugout been vindicated by what's happened over the past 2 or 3 weeks? Or will that not be known until the end of the season?
Well, in the short term, it definitely has, given the two results they've had at home prior to this one in the English League. But to get through to where they are now is a phenomenal achievement. And now it's saying to everybody, he's popular anyway, but if he can carry on this kind of form, they're not going to win every game until the end of the season. But if they can get safely away from any worries of relegation and at least perform that way in the quarterfinals, there's no reason why Craig Shakespeare can't get the job on a permanent basis.
By that stage, he might be a UEFA Champions League winner if they carry on.
Yeah, someone else might want him. Barcelona need a coach next season.
No, that was
I wish I'd put a bet on that one.
that was being flippant, because clearly he has the absolute respect, because he was a key part of them winning the Premier League last season. I think short term it's vindicated. There's no need to get your players up for evenings like this, is all you would say in terms of long term. But hey, if this is Craig Shakespeare's audition, then he's had three games and he's won all of them, including the biggest of the lot. And I think in terms of nights in Leicester City's history, you know, the Premier League win was, of course, you know, probably the biggest so far. But tonight felt like, in the stands, you know, grown men hugging each other at the full-time whistle. That's what you want as a football fan, and the emotion was there. I tell you, Sevilla will be absolutely gutted that they're not in the last eight for the first time, but, you know, their despair is Leicester's delight.
I mean, Sevilla have been so entertaining domestically and in this competition, but I want to point to the moment where Sami Nasri did get sent off, and not just because it reduced them to 10 men, but I felt at that point, Mike, it completely derailed their momentum, because they were just swarming that, at that point especially, swarming the Leicester City penalty area.
There was no need for it to happen, really, that incident with Jamie Vardy. And given that Nasri had already been booked, he should have thought ahead. He should have thought, hold on, we're on top in terms of possession. It's only a matter, when did the sending off happen? It happened in the 74th minute. They still had 16 plus minutes.
You've got 20 minutes
yeah, to get the goal that takes you into extra time. And because he got sent off, not only are they down to 10 men, they've lost a key player who's orchestrating things from that position. And Sampaoli's already made his substitution, so he can't really change things that much. No. When Nasri's gone off. And then, of course, he lets things spill over, and he gets sent to the stands, and it all unravels. But, I mean, in terms of their performance, certainly, and even when they were down to 10 men, they you can't fault them for their effort. But Leicester just got it right on the night. Their belief, their willpower got them through, and tactically, they got it right as well. I mean, and that the way they play is, as Gianluigi Buffon says, is going to be a problem for those teams.
You're going to have exemplary physical fitness to come up against Leicester over two legs. I think the Nasri sending off as well, it forced them to go a little more direct. He was the man that can unpick defences, and that played into Huth and Morgan and Ndidi, who was magnificent, by the way, into their hands. That's the way Leicester would like to have to defend. Long balls is fine. Tricky players like Sami Nasri are a little more
exactly.
of a problem.
As we saw for the penalty incident, yeah. They got undone on the
exactly.
edge of the
penalty area. And just from Sevilla's point of view, I think now in two big games in the UEFA Champions League, ill discipline has cost them. It did against Juve in the group stage, which is probably why they didn't win their group. Sampaoli was sent to the stands now. They then had a man dismissed. Same thing happened at Leicester. And when they're back, because they almost certainly will be next season in the UEFA Champions League, they'll have to learn from those moments, not let that frustration boil over, because their intensity is so key to the way they play and is so effective. But, you know, it's just when it goes a little over the top, it can be Sevilla's downfall, and it certainly helped Leicester, although it was Leicester's brilliance themselves, as opposed to Sevilla unravelling, that ultimately was the reason they went through.
Gents, good luck picking your man of the match, which we'll get. Mike's yours, fate. Pick a man of the match for the end of the show. Leicester City through with a 2-0 winning at Sevilla, 3-2 on aggregate. The adventure continues for the Foxes. Next, we go to Turin, where Porto had it all to do against the Italian champions Juventus in their second leg. Richard Kaufman was watching this one for us.
From the last corner, they did threaten. This time, though, it's Dani Alves who takes it, and the header is tipped away. Higuain's there on the follow-up. There's a shout for handball. What's the referee given here? Is it a handball? Yes, it is. It's a straight red card, and Porto are down to 10 men again. And it's a penalty to Juventus. Higuain's shot blocks, it seemed, on the line by Maxi Pereira. Now Paulo Dybala with a penalty, taking on Iker Casillas. Can the Argentine, who scored that 97th minute winner from the spot, do it again here for Juventus? Steps up now, left footed. Casillas goes the wrong way, right in the corner. Juventus 1, Porto 0, 3-0 on aggregate.
So Juve are into this stage of the competition, the quarterfinals for the third time in seven seasons. Let's go to our commentator for this one, Richard Kaufman. And Richard, it looked like it was never in doubt.
No, not really. I just wonder, do we learn anything about Juventus tonight? No, we don't, in any respect, really, because again, like in the first leg, they've gone over 45 minutes against 10 men. Take nothing away from them, but I don't think they'll care about that, will they? I know Max Allegri was saying in the press conference in the build-up to this match, he doesn't feel that they need to send any messages to their rivals with their performance or by scoring so many goals in tonight's match. They got done what they needed to do. In fact, 0-0 would have done them, wouldn't it? Even a 1-0 loss. But in the end, they won 1-0 and were very comfortable throughout. They had a couple of little frights with chances for Porto. But over the two legs, how many chances did Porto have? One save is all Gianluigi Buffon had to make over 180 minutes. That says a lot. Juventus maybe could have added to their goals. There were one or two chances, but it was an efficient, professional performance from Max Allegri's side. They did enough. They weren't fantastic. They didn't make you go on the edge of your seat. They were efficient. They got that job done. They're comfortably through to the quarterfinals again.
I'm really glad you pointed to that quote from Allegri before, because it seemed to be that quite a measured approach. So we just need to get the job done. We don't need to overexert ourselves, and they certainly didn't need to. I wanted to ask you about Dybala as well, his fourth spot kick in as many games just before halftime. Is he maturing into the forward now that we thought he would for Juventus?
I think so, yeah. He scored from the penalty spot, and I know you're going to ask me later what my man of the match will be. Sorry to sort of preempt you, but he was the standout player, because every time he got on the ball, there was the tempo went up. He looked like he could frighten the defenders. He dropped deep, picked it up even in the penalty area. He managed to time runs, give himself goal-scoring opportunities, bring other players into play. He looks the real deal. He's still only 23 years of age. La Gioia, they called him, the jewel, and he really is a bit of a gem. I mean, and the mental toughness to score the goals he has from the penalty spot. You know, we've seen enough missed penalties. You've had one tonight in the match between Leicester City and Sevilla, but you don't feel like he's going to miss one. I mean, he did it in the 97th minute on Friday night in a big match against Milan. Today, he just stepped up. Casillas went one way, the ball went the other, nestled in the corner of the net. Fantastic from Paulo Dybala tonight. He really was, as I say, the standout player in the Juventus side. And he is the real deal. There's no doubt about it. And he could be a very important player if they are to get this UEFA Champions League crown at the end of this season.
Juve in a situation where they're 8 points clear in Serie A, by the way, as well, with 10 games to go. Porto turn their attention to winning their first league title since 2013. So from what you've seen so far of Juventus this season, Richard, in terms of the teams that are still in the competition and those that will likely join it, Atletico we expect to be in the last eight, Manchester City as things stand, where would you put them in terms of favourites to win it? Would they be in the top two or three for you?
It's a really tough question. I think it's really wide open. I don't want to sit on the fence here. I wouldn't go automatically, yeah, Juventus are in the top two. But that doesn't mean that they can't, never mind make the final, that they couldn't actually win this. I mean, compare their team to the team that made the final in 2015. You know, you had Pogba in there, Vidal in there, Carlos Tevez up front with Morata. Higuain, Is he better than Tevez? Well, they're both Argentinian strikers who on their day can be fantastic. Higuain, I mean, look how much money they paid for him. Terrific. I'm not that convinced by Mandzukic playing on the left-hand side of midfield, but then again, he had a pretty decent match tonight. There's no doubt about it. Dybala offers something in and around that penalty area. Cuadrado has improved as the season's gone on. Defensively, I think that's where maybe they are superior to other sides in the competition. They had no Chiellini tonight. Didn't really matter. You know, players can fit in. Benatia came in. Bazzali came on as a substitute. Bonucci looks good. They got a choice of right backs that are as good as each other in Dani Alves and Stefan Lichtsteiner. Alexandro is an excellent fullback. And they've got a man who may be 39, but my goodness, he's still a goalkeeper. Not that he had much to do tonight, Gianluigi Buffon. So I think in terms of defence, yes, they probably are in the top two. In terms of attack, no, they're not in the top two. But it's all about team. Through that spine, they are very, very solid indeed. They are going to be a threat, whoever they play in the quarterfinals.
Richard, thank you very much. We'll come back to you before the end of the show. Coming up on Match Day Live, we're going to look ahead to Wednesday's round of 16 ties. Monaco host Manchester City and Leverkusen travel to Atletico.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til racismo.
Não ao racismo.
Nein til racismo.
Não ao racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Chris Parrott and me, Rob Daly. We have two more fantastic fixtures on Wednesday night in the UEFA Champions League round of 16, starting with Monaco against Manchester City. The English side head to the Principality after that incredible 5-3 victory in the first leg. And we have full commentary of the match right here on Match Day Live from 19:30 Central European Time. City manager Pep Guardiola has been speaking ahead of the game.
I want to see a team from the first minute for the day to win the game. I want to see that. And after that, in that level, everybody can beat you. And of course, you can beat everybody. But I want to see my team with the feeling. The feeling I want to see the game. I want to win the game. So scoring goals. Take the ball and attack as much as possible. It's the only way I know to beat this kind of team.
Yeah, Pep Guardiola doesn't park the bus. Adam Summerton joins us now. He's going to be our commentator for Monaco against Manchester City. Adam, I suspect we're going to see some goals, aren't we?
Well, I was expecting goals anyway, but listening to Pep Guardiola there, it makes you even more confident, doesn't you? I mean, the first game was like a basketball match at times, wasn't it? It was just unbelievable attacking football. I think both managers would concede that some of the defending left a bit to be desired, but as an entertainment spectacle, it really was something else. And I think Guardiola will be pretty confident going into this. 11 games unbeaten in all competitions, and really importantly as well, they're keeping clean sheets away from home. They've kept clean sheets in every one city of the six away games since they lost 4-0 at Everton on the 15th of January, and that could prove very important, that stability at the back.
Radamel Falcao, who was so good in that first leg, he's going to be assessed on Wednesday morning. How key is it for Monaco that he is fit and can start?
Well, I mean, it's massive. I mean, clearly they've got a lot of goals right throughout the side. They've scored more goals than any other side in European football, 123 in all competitions. But his renaissance has been so key to what they're doing at Monaco this season. And that goal that he scored, that chip that he scored in the first leg, was just one of the goals of the season. So they'll be absolutely desperate to get him fit. And I hope that from a neutral point of view, I really do hope he is, because he could have a big role to play in this second leg.
Monaco are looking to reach the quarterfinals for the second time in three seasons. City have only won one of their last six European away games. Tactically, how do you expect City to go about this one, Adam? Apart from Gabriel Jesus, perhaps, they're in pretty good shape in terms of injuries.
Yeah, they are. It's a strong squad that they'll take with them to the Principality. tactically, you know, that was the big surprise for me from the first leg. It's why I'm intrigued to see how they will set up both managers in the second leg, because there didn't look to be a great deal of tactical thinking in that first leg, I've got to say. I mean, it was so open. And whether we'll see a similar game in the second leg, who knows? I suspect from the way Guardiola was talking, perhaps we will, unless there's a bit of kidology going on there, and maybe they will actually look to try and keep it tight. But whatever happens, I'm absolutely convinced that we'll see goals with the attacking threat that both sides possess.
Adam, looking forward to your company tomorrow night. Adam Summerton will be our commentator for Monaco against Manchester City. 8 goals in that tie already. How many more are we going to see on Wednesday? The other fixture on tomorrow night is the second leg of Atletico hosting Leverkusen. Of course, Atletico last season runners-up in the UEFA Champions League. 4-2 up from the first leg. Atletico in a wonderful position here, Chris. They really should progress.
Yeah, they are enormous favourites. We've seen one remarkable comeback with Barcelona last week. I think if Leverkusen were to knock Atletico out, it would probably be a more impressive story in many ways, given how good, how strong Atletico are. They took the shackles off in the first leg, Diego Simeone. His side scored 4 away goals. And also, I'd qualify that comment about Barcelona, who, of course, made history of that comeback. Leverkusen have so many players out, Robert. I'll just go through it. Bender, Calhanoglu, Henricks, Kiesling, Tart, Toprak. Oh, and Havertz, who is sitting an exam because he's that young, so he hasn't made the trip to the Spanish cap. So
extraordinary.
It would be near impossible had Leverkusen been full strength. I think those injuries just, for me, make it pretty much impossible. But the UEFA Champions League has already thrown up some remarkable stories.
Tough test for Havertz and for Leverkusen.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
I teed you up for that, you see.
Bayer have changed their coach, by the way, since match day 7. Tayfun Korkut taking over until the end of the season, replacing Roger Schmidt after they lost 6-2 to Borussia Dortmund. Make sure you tune in for Match Day Live from 19:30 CET on Wednesday night. We're going to have all the build-up action and reaction from these round of 16 ties. A reminder, your quarter-final lineup as things stand for the UEFA Champions League: Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern München, Borussia Dortmund, Juventus and Leicester City. Let's hear from their manager, Craig Shakespeare.
Obviously delighted. I think if you were in the dressing room after the game, all the players, although they're shattered, I think from the first minute we set our stall out and we tried to make it as uncomfortable as we can for Seville by pressing them high, making sure for second balls, but I thought we were magnificent tonight. Yeah. We've just beaten one of the really good teams in Europe. Their pedigree is there for everyone to see, but we've came out victory tonight, and we'll see who we get in the next round.
Okay, Mike Shull, your man of the match from Leicester City's win over Sevilla.
I'd like to say Kasper Ndidi, but I'll say Wilfried Schmeichel instead.
Very good. Chris?
He's taken both of my names out. Jamie Vardy. I thought he was brilliant.
Well, that's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live this evening, on a night that saw two more teams book their place in the quarter-final draw. In Leicester, the English champions continued their European adventure after an action-packed 2-0 victory over 10-man Sevilla, seeing them progress 3-2 on aggregate. Whilst in Turin, Juventus made slightly lighter work of Porto, winning 1-0 on the night. Dybala with the penalty, 3-0 on aggregate. So who will clinch the last two quarterfinal spots? Join us tomorrow from 19:30 Central European Time to find out. We have full commentary of Monaco versus Manchester City. Will we be treated to another 8-goal classic? And then we'll bring you extended updates from Atletico against Bayer Leverkusen, the German side with it all to do. They're 4-2 down from the first leg. Until then, from Chris Parrott, Richard Kaufman, Mike Shull, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye from the Match Day Live team.
Now Paulo Dybala with a penalty, taking on Iker Casillas. Can the Argentine, who scored that 97th minute winner from the spot, do it again here for Juventus? Steps up now, left footed. Casillas goes the wrong way, right in the corner. Juventus 1, Porto 0, 3-0 on aggregate.
Just outside that angle of the penalty area, over on the far side, Mahrez drives it in towards the six-yard area, and it's sent in by Wes Morgan, and Leicester City take the lead through their captain. Right-hand edge of the penalty area. Mahrez crosses in towards the Japanese. Mark Albrighton, left foot shot, scores for Leicester. They go in front by 2-0. And just as Sevilla look like getting back in the game, Leicester have extended their advantage. And Zonzi waits for the signal from the referee. He steps forward, right footed. Saved by Schmeichel. He's done it again. It wasn't the best penalty, but Leicester do not care. Maybe Kasper Schmeichel is sending Leicester into the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.